It's Radar Contact, a bi-weekly audio newsletter for subscribers to atccommunication.com. And now, here's your host, Jeff Canarish.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Radar Contact. I am your host, Jeff Canarish. I suppose we ought to call this podcast show a monthly podcast, considering how often I get it out to you. But I'm going to keep striving to get it out to you on a bi-weekly basis. In fact, having waited so long since the last podcast, we do have a lot to talk about. So let's get started. What do you hate about driving? If you're like me, you hate driving on a crowded road. Ugh. Not only does traffic slow your progress, it also increases the odds you're going to encounter a dumbass in another car. Dumbasses, for lack of a better word, lack the self-discipline to drive according to the rules of the road, or in harmony with other drivers on the road. It seems they play by their own rules, if they have any rules at all, which means they're unpredictable. Well, pilots are all about self-discipline and predictability. And let's face it, a safe and efficient flight depends upon predictability. During flight training, one of your instructor's main goals was to get you to think ahead of the aircraft. Remember that? I want you to be thinking ahead of where you are right now. Your instructor wanted you to predict what was going to happen 1, 2, or maybe even 3 steps ahead of where the airplane was at the moment. The act of predicting and planning for what you will need to do to an airplane is called flight projection. You mentally project where the airplane is going to be moments from now and use that information to plan your next several moves. It's sort of like being proactive instead of reactive. For example, let's say you're on downwind at an airport traffic pattern and you're going to flight project to base leg and final approach, which means while you're thinking, well, here I am on downwind, I need 100 knots and 1,000 feet to fly this downwind. Yeah, you're doing all that, but you also flight project. From here, I'll need to reduce airspeed to 80 knots and altitude to 700 feet by the time I reach base leg. I'll need my flaps at 10 degrees before turning base. I'll need 70 knots turning final and 400 feet on final with flaps tracking to 30 degrees. And let's see here. The wind is blowing from my right, which means I'll have less time than usual on base leg due to the tailwind, so I better pull the power back a little early and lower flaps a little early to not fall behind the airplane. Am I right? It turns out this type of thinking, flight projection, also applies to working the aircraft radios. Rather than wait until the point where you have to make a mandatory radio call, you can project ahead of your current position and plan your next 2 or 3 radio calls. For example, well before I enter an airport traffic pattern, I'm thinking about my radio call for pattern entry. Wiseacre traffic, Piper 2891 Kilo, entering the downwind for runway 21, Wiseacre. So I'm thinking about that, but I'm also thinking a couple more steps ahead. I'm thinking about my base leg and final approach calls. Wiseacre traffic, Piper 2891 Kilo, base leg, runway 21, full stop, Wiseacre. And I'm thinking Wiseacre traffic, Piper 2891 Kilo, final, runway 21, full stop, Wiseacre. I also try to visualize what the picture out the windscreen is going to look like when I make those calls. For example, when I think about my base leg call, I can visualize rolling out of my turn to a base with a view of about 2/3 ground and 1/3 sky looking forward. And the view of the runway will be about at my 10 o'clock position. So by tying each radio call to a mental picture of the view out of the cockpit windows, I build a strong mental cue to make each radio call. If I don't flight project my radio calls, I may, in the heat of the moment, and that's called, again, being reactive, I may either forget to make those calls or make them incorrectly. Let's face it, there's a lot going on when you fly in an airport traffic pattern. It's easy to get tongue-tied if you don't plan your radio calls. And here's something else to consider. As much as we would like flying to be 100% predictable, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes the surface winds shift, causing a need to land on a different runway from the one you planned for. Sometimes airborne traffic pops up unexpectedly, changing your navigation plan. And every once in a while, your airplane has a mechanical issue that requires a completely different course of action. Even the most simple and innocent of events can rearrange your plan. For example, let's say you were planning to report your position to an airport tower as you flew over a named landmark on your sectional chart. Let's say this landmark is a horse racetrack 8 miles northwest of the airport. You flight project your radio call as slip up tower, fixation 573 Tango Uniform is over the racetrack inbound for landing with information Oscar. But just as the racetrack glides under the nose of your aircraft and your finger starts to press down on the push-to-talk switch, before you can press that switch, you hear,
slip up tower, Air Hog 882, India Juliet is 7 south of the field, inbound for landing.
Air Hog 88, India Juliet, slip up tower, report entering a downwind for runway 9, advise you have Oscar.
Air Hog 882, India Juliet, will report a left downwind and we have Oscar.
Slip up tower, fast mover 401 kilo kilo is 5 miles from runway 9. Fast mover 401 kilo kilo slip up tower, clear to land runway 9er. Traffic is a king here over the numbers. Clear to land runway 9. Fast mover 401 kilo kilo.
The radio finally goes silent. You look down. The racetrack is gone, and the airport is 6 miles ahead. So much for your planned radio call over the racetrack, right? The good news is, you can still flight project your radio call. Here's how to do it. As the radios get tied up by other transmissions, you can project. Okay, if the radios open up in the next 10 seconds, I'll report 7 miles northwest of the airport. Forget about the racetrack. We'll just call 7 miles northwest. And if the radios open up 30 seconds from now, I'll report 6 miles northwest of the airport. And so on. The point is this. Don't get so locked into your projected plan that you fail to flex with a changing situation. Just because you plan to report over the racetrack, you wouldn't make that call once the racetrack was 2 or 3 miles behind you. Plan ahead, but be flexible. As the situation changes, flight project and change your plan. Does that make sense? Have you ever heard a story about a patient who went into a hospital to have surgery on the right knee and the surgeon mistakenly cut into the patient's left knee? Or the patient in hospital room 201 getting the medication for the patient in room 301? These examples are getting rarer as hospitals improve their operating procedures, but they still happen. We have an equivalent problem in aviation, and the problem is not necessarily getting better. Pilots flying aircraft with similar sounding call signs on the same radio frequency is a lot more dangerous than most people realize. Just last week, I heard a pilot of one aircraft grab a clearance given to a pilot in another aircraft. The call from ATC was something like this. Airliner 1602, climb and maintain flight level 280. And the reply was, Airliner 602, climb and maintain flight level 280. The air traffic controller didn't catch the mistake. I was listening somewhat passively to the radio, and I missed the error, too. Matter of fact, I had no idea anything had gone wrong until the pilot in Airliner 602 caught his own mistake and said, I think Airliner 602 accidentally took the clearance to flight level 280. To which ATC said, Airliner 602, level off right there. Airliner 602 leveling off. Airliner 1602, are you climbing the flight level 280? Airliner 1602 negative, we are level flight level 230. Well, ATC and the two pilots eventually worked it out, and there was no traffic conflict, so thank goodness for that. It could have been a disaster. Think of it this way. Imagine two cars coming to a stop at a traffic light. One car is stopped in the northbound lane at the intersection. The other car is stopped in the westbound lane of the intersection. Due to a malfunction, the traffic lights all simultaneously turn green. And when both cars get the green signal to enter the intersection at the same time, what do you think is going to happen? Now, translate that to flying, where the wrong pilot takes an ATC clearance and blunders into another airplane's path. This problem is so serious that the FAA and the ICAO have both have a regulation specifically prohibiting one pilot from taking the ATC clearance assigned to another pilot. In fact, did you know there is only one regulation pertaining to radio calls in the entire Index of Aviation Regulations, at least in Part 91 anyways? Part of that reg, that single reg, says don't deviate from an ATC clearance except in an emergency, and the other part says don't take an ATC clearance given to the pilot of another aircraft. That's it. One reg to cover the entire gamut of radio work. Don't deviate except in an emergency, and don't swipe someone else's ATC clearance. The FAA apparently believes this is one area of radio communication that is so serious it needs to be covered by law. Assuming pilots would never intentionally answer and act upon someone else's clearance, why does this problem happen every once in a while? I already mentioned the problem of similar sounding call signs. Similar sounding call signs are a big problem in the airline industry because there are only a handful of airline companies, meaning there are a lot of call signs beginning with Delta or United, Southwest or American, SkyWest or Comair, etc. Airline call signs begin with the company name or an assigned name plus 1 to 4 digits, for example, Delta 23 or Comair 5561. It's not hard to see how you can have a Delta 23 and a Delta 233 on the same frequency. The problem is less likely to happen in general aviation. General aviation call signs include the maker model of an aircraft plus 5 letters and digits. The combination of letters and digits in a general aviation call sign make it less likely that there will be similar sounding call signs on the same frequency. Add in the fact that there are hundreds of makes and models of aircraft to add to a call sign, and it becomes very rare to have 2 aircraft on the same frequency with the same maker model and 6 similar digits and letters in their call sign. Rare, but not impossible. Let's face it. While there are hundreds of different types of airplanes out there, the most common are Cessnas, Pipers, and Beeches. So, put Cessna 3318 Romeo and Cessna 1318 Romeo on the same frequency and you have a problem. ATC should alert both aircraft to the potential for confusion by saying something to the effect of,
Cessna 3318 Romeo, be advised there is a Cessna 1318 Romeo on the frequency, use caution.
Both pilots should acknowledge the warning and then listen very carefully. Now, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're sharing the frequency with another aircraft that has a similar sounding call sign, do this. First, get rid of all distractions and listen carefully to the radio. Second, acknowledge every ATC instruction by stating your full call sign. It's imperative to state your call sign by saying each digit in the call sign individually. For example, Cessna 3318 Romeo, not Cessna 3318 Romeo or some combination like that. 3. Do not abbreviate your call sign unless the controller does so first. A controller will only abbreviate your call sign when she knows with certainty there are not other aircraft on the frequency with similar sounding call signs. 4. If ATC gives a clearance that you think was intended for you, but the call sign was slightly mismatched, don't take the clearance. Ask the controller to clarify the call sign, even if no one else on the frequency responds to the clearance and you think it's obvious it was intended for you. For example, if your call sign is Cessna 3318 Romeo and ATC says Piper 3318 Romeo, climb and maintain 4000, do not take that clearance, even if no one else does. Say something to the effect of, was that last clearance for Cessna 3318 Romeo? We heard Piper 3318 Romeo. And ATC should come right back and respond with a clarification. After all this, if you still have any doubt about who the ATC clearance was given to, ask for clarification. Did I say that enough? Don't be the next pilot who accepts a clearance given to another pilot. Mistakenly responding to a clearance given to another pilot may be the short route to losing your pilot's license at the least, or taking an eternal dirt nap at the worst. I want to take a moment to say thank you to everyone who signed up for the course, Clearance Magic, the online course that teaches you how to copy IFR clearances with ease and accuracy every time. I've gotten some great feedback so far from those who have used the program. If you are one of the crowd who has gotten on board with Clearance Magic, thank you. Let's finish up the show, as always, with our question of the week. You are entering the downwind leg of an airport traffic pattern at midfield. You report your position and tower tells you,
continue on the downwind. You are number 3 for landing. I'll call your base leg.
Just as tower says this to you, your airplane's engine starts coughing and surging. You look at your tachometer. The tach needle is fluctuating wildly. Both gas tank gauges show 3/4 full, but you reach down and switch tanks anyways, just in case there's some water in one tank. You also switch your ignition switch to the other magneto in case something is wrong with one side of your ignition system. Nothing helps. Your engine is getting worse, and you figure you better get on the ground right now while the engine is still running. So you make this radio call.
Tower, Ono 346, Echo Romeo is declaring an emergency for a surging engine. I need to land immediately.
Tower answers,
Ono 346, Echo Romeo, you are now number 1 for the runway. Turn base at your discretion. Clear to land runway 3. Do you require assistance?
You tell the tower to roll the emergency trucks as you turn base leg. You land without incident and taxi clear of the runway. When you contact ground control, the controller tells you to give the tower supervisor a call on the phone. On the phone, the tower supervisor tells you she'll need a written report of your emergency detailing why you had to land immediately. So here are the questions. Does the tower supervisor's request for a written report indicate you did something wrong? And secondly, how much time do you have to get that written report into her hands? When you think you know the answer to those questions, click the link, Answers to Questions Asked in Radar Contact. That'll take you to a page with a complete answer to the question along with a full explanation. Well, if you're flying this week, I hope you have great weather, and don't forget to use your full call sign unless ATC says so otherwise, and be very cautious when there are similar sounding call signs on the same radio frequency. That should get you through the day. I'm Jeff Canarish. Thank you for listening. Be well and fly safe.